What's up, everybody? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast.
Hey, y'all, and this is JJ Crable, and today our guest is Emily. Emily, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey, I am Emily. I am a spiritual practitioner, and I live on the road full time, which is really super fun.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. Where are you calling in from currently, Emily?
I am currently in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, cool. Okay. Not too far from us down here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so, Emily, when you say you're a spiritual practitioner, I have no idea what that means. Can you give us like a little overview of what you do?
Sure. So, it can be called many things. I am technically a psychic, right? It falls under a very broad spectrum, but really what that means is that I work with clients to help them alleviate any sort of spiritual activity that they're having, but also work with them with any abilities that they might have if they want to develop those or maybe protect themselves a little bit within the realm of activity. Just help them understand sort of their world with a spiritual sort of focus.
Wow, that's really fascinating. How long have you been doing this?
So I've seen spirits my whole life, come from a family that's very like welcoming to that idea, very supportive. But when I was 19, I actually got the opportunity to work with a shaman and he did all of my mentorship training. So, and I'm now 37, so a long time.
Oh man. Wow. And, have you always done it by kind of traveling the world or were you centrally located for a time?
So yeah, for a very long time, I had like a regular life. I had a, you know, regular kind of situation, lived in regular towns, had jobs, but have always wanted to sort of reach more people. I've always had wanderlust. I've traveled all over the world. So I figured why not try to combine the two things? That took about 3 years to make the full transition to, you know, getting rid of all the normal responsibilities. And I just jumped in and said, let's give it a try, see what happens.
Awesome. Sounds like a really cool career path. Where did you train with this shaman? Was that in the U.S.?
It was in the States. It was in central Ohio, oddly enough. He was Blackfoot, which is not where they're from. He had some family, and long story short, he ended up moving into that area when he was 83 when I met him. So he's quite old. I was just going to say, it wasn't his sort of ancestral home, but he luckily made it there and I got to meet him. So the biggest thing I would say is that's a big part of my work and the things that we learned from him was the idea that the spirit world lays over our world, right? If you think of it, like right now, physicists are working on the idea of parallel universes with multiple dimensions. Same idea. So, the most shamans view the spirit world that it lays over our world. So he taught me something called journeying, which is a very advanced form of meditation. Eventually, you get to do it in the waking hours and in the eyes open walking around. And our world starts to look like you have one version and then you have another version behind it. So like if I could beam you guys into my vision, it would look very different probably than what you guys are used to seeing because it's sort of like a double exposure.
And is that something that you have to reach by meditation or can you kind of get into that mind frame instantaneously?
So initially during the training process and, early on, it was always through meditation, through the very basic, like everybody can do, settling yourself down, breathing. But after not too long, I would say maybe 6 months, I was able to start doing that without having to go through that process. And now it's all the time.
Wow, that's really fascinating. So are there certain key moments that have been influential or very memorable to you during your journey doing this?
As far as working with clients or walking around in the spirit?
Oh man, both. Yeah.
Yes. And
all right. So, So walking around in the spirit world, that is a very strange adventure every time you sort of do it. The things in the spirit world look very different than what we're used to. There's human spirits walking around just like in regular life. But there's a lot of non-human spirits, right? Nature spirits, non-human entities that have never been human. And they look very, very different than us. They can be, a lot of times when people start the journey, it can be a little scary because they can look monstrous in a way. And of course our pop culture loves to blow all that stuff out of proportion and everything that doesn't look like us is evil, which is not true. It's a lot of getting used to sort of looking past things' appearance to see what they really are.
So we've had guests on before who are psychics and mediums or both. And there, a lot of those guests, their childhoods were filled with seeing ghosts and not really being able to explain it. Some of them can describe it kind of like the Sixth Sense movie. Did you have similar Yep. experiences when you were kind of first getting into this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember my mom telling me that I used to tell her all the time that I grew up on a farm, so we had animals all over the place. And I used to tell her all the time that there was a black dog in our backyard, all the time. And she's like, we don't have a black dog. We have every other color dog, but we don't have a black dog. And I just was so obsessed with this dog. And it turned out years later that's one of my guys. That happens a lot to people, where they feel like they see things, or like you were saying, other mediums and psychics, they see things all the time. And then it turns out years later that it's just the reality of their world.
So what does your spirit guide do for you?
So everybody has spirit guides. There's two types. There's a spirit guide that is either a non-human that was sort of charged with protecting you, or they've chosen to protect you, or there's ancestral guides, which is people that maybe are somehow related to you in life, whether you knew them now or they're many generations back. Spirit guides or ancestor guides, they're a little bit like, they're there to help you understand your own intuition. So, that feeling, that gut feeling, right? Like maybe I should get out of here, or maybe I should go on a date with this person, or whatever it is. That feeling is the same thing that they do for you. They are the one thing in the world that cares as much about you as you do about yourself. So they are there to, if you communicate with them, they're there to help you answer questions about life. They're there to keep you safe. They're there to protect you. Of course, their main job is to protect you from other spirits.
So can you communicate with yours?
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody that has talent, which I do believe that almost everyone has talent, just varying degrees, has some type of way of communicating with their spirit guides. Some people feel them, some people hear them in their heads, sometimes they can actually see them, sometimes they get symbols in their mind, like in the sort of that third eye idea. Mine are usually through symbolism. So that I get images, and over the years I've developed sort of a language with them so that I understand what each symbol means. And I also sometimes, if it's like a really big deal, sometimes I'll hear them, but it's usually through that symbolism.
And the images that you're getting, are these physical things that you're seeing that, are present in the physical world, but have a strong significance or symbolism for you? Or are these things that someone like me who has very little intuition, I could be standing next to you and not see it at all?
Right. So, it's probably closer to the latter. So my guess would be that it's another psychic might be able to pick up on the language, but realistically it's kind of singular to me.
Gotcha. Cool.
And has your spirit guide had any big effects for you in your life? Have there been things that you were warned off of that could have been catastrophic, or warned to, that have paid off big dividends for you?
Yeah, both things actually. So I remember this was probably at least 10 years ago now, at least. I was driving home from a friend's house, and it was late, and I had, at the time, I had a big truck, because, like I said, we lived on farms. I had a big truck, and driving down the highway, and it's 10 o'clock at night, nobody's on the highway, and all of a sudden, I hear my guide's voice, and he says, change the lane right now. Like almost screams it. And I said, okay, so I'm used to it, you know, so okay. So I did. And not 20 feet in front of me, as soon as I changed the lane on the other side of the lane that I was in, you know, those, big concrete or those big steel plates they put over the holes of the, in the ground when they're doing like road work.
Oh yeah. We live in Atlanta. We know about those steel plates.
Yeah. So one of those steel plates, it was like 12-foot steel plates. It had fallen into the hole that was, it was covering up.
Oh my gosh.
So had I not changed lanes, I would have driven 55 miles an hour into a 12-foot hole.
Wow.
So yeah. Wow. So that saved me for sure. And then I've been warned off of you know, being in relationships or doing, you know, the normal life stuff that I ignored and certainly regretted.
Well, that's really fascinating. And I know, or I may be making an assumption, but you are also able to connect with other people's spirit guides when you work with them. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That's usually the first couple steps when I work with them. I do a lot of mentorship. So if anybody's listening and they want to actually get some mentorship, I'd be happy to do that. But our first couple steps are usually connecting with their spirit guides, because that's a huge step to getting them safely into the spirit world and learning to control their abilities and all of that. So usually that's the first journey that I go on for them, to try to help them find their spirit guide.
When you're just out in public, let's say you're at like a busy mall and you're walking around, do you hear other people's spirit guides reaching out to you because you have this ability to communicate with them?
I think it depends. Yes. To answer your question shortly. Yes. It usually depends on where that person is in their life and what's going on with them. You know, most people, generally speaking, are kind of going along. They're okay. Hopefully they don't have a lot of trauma in their life. They're just kind of moving along. If they're living a normal, basic life, their spirit guides are going to just go along with them. Most of the time when I hear them or see them unrequested is because something's going on with that person. And usually if I get an opportunity and it feels like maybe that person's going to be open to it, I might go and try to make a little conversation with them.
So you will take that step to try to reach out to them and say, hey, there's something going on that we need to talk about?
I do. It is unfortunately not always super welcome, but sometimes it is, and that makes it worth it.
Yeah, that's interesting. We had somebody on recently who... she gets premonitions of people's deaths. And per her, she's been really accurate on those premonitions, to the point where she was in high school and she walked by one of her favorite professors and something just told her like, oh, he's going to die. And she got really sad. And then like that next week, he unexpectedly died of a heart attack. But I asked her, do you ever feel compelled to reach out to these people when you feel that? And she didn't. Whether it was just because she felt awkward or didn't know how to explain it or just didn't feel like she had to. Mm-hmm. To me, that felt like a big burden to have that information that other people don't have. But it sounds like you've been able to manage that and kind of make it work for you.
Yeah. Precognition, like in her case, that especially, you know, like death zone and that kind of stuff, that's extremely challenging. And I certainly, you know, wish her well, because that's a rough road.
Yeah.
But most of the time when I, you know, get something from someone, yes, it can be sometimes like that they're going through something and they need a little support or they need some sort of message from maybe someone that's passed for them. But most of the time I've noticed this over and over and over again in my life, that I have a tendency to come into people's lives when they're making huge transitions. And sometimes I can be a little bit of a catalyst for that. And sure. So I haven't hesitated as much as maybe I would have if I hadn't seen the positive results.
So Emily, I'm just curious, because at some point you had to go from, you know, living in your parents' house to telling them, all right, I'm moving out to study spiritual advisor career path. Were they supportive of that? What was that like?
Yeah, so I have an amazing family. My mom is a psychic. She's very talented. As well, she used it just in her own way. She's not really practiced. She's very open. My dad is open to it. He sort of just goes about, kind of goes along with it. They were always supportive, but keep in mind too that at the time it was always going to be this kind of cool side thing I did. And I had like a regular life along with that. I mean, I wouldn't say I ever had like a normal life because I actually was a professional equestrian for many years. So that wasn't really normal either, but at least it was like a job, it was a normal job. And so they were at the time when it happened, when I got to work with, his name was Wolfson. When I got to work with Wolfson, it was very like, that's a cool thing. You get to do this. Awesome. And that was kind of the end of it, right? Like we never really thought that, however many years down the road, it would turn into, I'm going to like sell everything and quit all my jobs and like.
Wow. And you kind of went through your journey a little bit with us. And I know you mentioned your customers. So what's like the craziest experience that you've had so far that's been really impactful for, somebody that you've helped?
Yeah, so it's interesting because a lot of times I'll go and work with a client, especially on like activity cases. So I work a lot with the paranormal teams all over the country. They're a huge support system for me. They'll call me in when they have a case that they don't know what to do with or they want extra help with. So I went in with a team, helped a girl that was just having normal, this is a weird way of saying it, but a normal kind of activity, like sounds, bumping noises, bad dreams, thoughts in the house that made her dizzy, just normal kind of basic stuff. So I went through, did the cleansing, helped her understand like how to connect with her spirit guides and be safe and do the whole thing. To me, it seemed very, very normal, right? But it turns out that like 2 months later, she contacted the team again and said that she was, when I saw her, when we saw her, she didn't let on that she was terrified, didn't think she was going to even make it to the next month. She was so scared. And just being able to have the support of both the team and the work that I did, in her words, she said, I saved her life, which is so weird to me, right? Like, I mean, that's wonderful and I'm glad, but I never would have thought that was a possibility. But I've had that happen multiple times that people have said that it's totally changed their life, which how amazing and rewarding is that?
Wow. And what kind of experiences was she having? Like, was she dealing with like a demon or something, or what was making her feel so effective?
Yeah. So she had a portal in her house. Right. And again, big culture, we love to blow these out of proportion. Portals are just bad energy spots that happen to thin the veil and then things can come in and out. I think of it more of a bus station than like anything evil, right? It's just a spirit bus. So she was having a lot of, and she was, she had ability, so of course it affected her more. So she was having a lot of nightmares. She was hearing voices in her head, and she literally thought she was going to sleep because she's like, these aren't my voices. Like, why, what's happening? Am I going to have to be hospitalized? Because, our brain from like a social standpoint immediately goes to that fear of, oh my God, I'm crazy. Like, right. How am I going to be a normal person if I have voices in my head? And she was worried that she was schizophrenic and like all of this stuff. We of course found this out later. She didn't tell us all this stuff. She just moved us in to look at the activity. But that's why she was so scared.
So she was hearing,
because she was afraid, she was so afraid.
Kind of hitting her all at once. Is that?
Right. Right. Yeah. It would be as if you fell asleep in your bed and then you woke up in your anticipation. Right. And you don't know how you got there and you have all these strangers around you and you can't see them. You can only hear them. That would be really scary.
Oh yeah. I would definitely think I was like crazy or something if that was happening.
Right.
I wonder, since your mother also kind of shares this gift with you, maybe you didn't go through like as much doubt of when you started, when like, I guess spirits started presenting themselves to you, but did you ever have a moment in your life where you kind of thought like, maybe this isn't what I think it is? Or like, did you ever kind of, I don't know, did it ever make you kind of question your sanity?
Yes. I don't know if questioning my sanity was exactly the right way, but I understand what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, not to imply that I think you're insane, but but you know, I'm just thinking from if I was in that position, like I would probably go to a psychiatrist first time.
Right. I think I did have the advantage of, you know, when I was from the time I was tiny little kid to all the way still. If I say something to my family, like, hey, there's this over there, or the spirit says this, or I see that, I'm like, yeah, cool. You know, like it was never, they never said that it was an issue. They never denied it. They never, just because they couldn't see it or whatever, they never said it wasn't there. So I don't think I really went through that per se.
Yeah.
But I did definitely, and still do sometimes, I have to, when I go into like working out with a client, like on an activity case with one of the paranormal team, I have to still say to myself, whatever you get, whatever you hear, whatever you feel, whatever it is, you have to trust that that's what you're getting. You know, it doesn't matter if it makes sense. It doesn't matter if it makes sense to the client. It doesn't matter. Just say it because that's what it is. So that, you know, I think that whole doubt thing is definitely.
Well, and it must be, you know, especially in your case, you've had instances where you've had a proof of concept, right? Like driving the car and it tells, you know, your spirit guide tells you, hey, get in the other lane, and it potentially saves your life. So I'm sure that makes it a little easier to accept what's going on.
It does. It does for sure. And, you know, and constant, you know, when clients the team and they're like, thank you, it's been peaceful in the house since then, we don't have any issues or whatever it may be. Or when I work with my mentorship clients, you know, when they say, oh, things are so much easier, they're much better, or I see this now, or I see that now, that really helps. Any kind of confirmation really, really helps.
So I'm not sure if you've had an opportunity to, we have an episode called Devin's Demons. It's a friend of ours who has a very active relationship with the paranormal. I think it was stronger when he was younger, but he still has a pretty active relationship with ghosts and spirits. And he and a group of other people live in a house that, at least as an outsider looking in, appears to be haunted. I think they would definitely tell you that it's haunted. We actually did an episode from their house, and we had an EMP, where you have some kind of weird sound that you can't explain, like come through the podcast. I don't know. It could have just been some weird mouth noise in a mic, but it's so you live or not live, but you travel. It sounds like, you know, close-ish to the Southeast. Are you ever in Atlanta? Because I would love to hook you up with them and maybe do a recording from their house with your experience, you know, what you feel from that house.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. Yeah, I have the luxury of not traveling where it's really cold when it's like this. So I do stay in the South as much as I can. So yeah, I would love to. That would be great. Like I said, I'm in Charlotte right now, which is not very far, so we can definitely do that.
Okay. Yeah, that's exciting. I think that's something our listeners would enjoy. But even more, I think it's something that we would really find interesting, knowing Devin and everything that he's been through, and just that house has some wild stuff going on in it. So I would love to kind of get a professional's perspective on what's going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that sounds really kind of fun. Yeah, the key thing to remember, and for all the listeners to remember, is that the whole world is haunted, right? I mean, if you look at it that way, because it from the traditional that I was taught and from my own experience, and most psychics are going to say this, the same thing, because the spirit world is so close to ours, it literally lays over the top. You can't go anywhere without seeing spirits if you're so talented and you're so inclined, right? So each location may have more activity, especially if you've got like a household of psychics or people that have ability. That can, you know, that'll attract all kinds of stuff because it's like a party. If you're walking down your neighborhood and somebody's got some, you know, got a grill out and they got a nice little bonfire in the back, you're going to be like, hey, you know, can I join? Same thing. So if you've got people that have ability, they're going to bring spirits to them because they look different from their world.
Yeah, that's exactly how he describes it. Because he would say that everybody in that house is open to the paranormal, and that kind of invites that energy into the home.
Yeah absolutely.
So we're kind of coming up to our mark. What would you like our audience to know about you? I mean, obviously you've been gracious with your time and gone through a lot about your journey, but how can they get in contact with you? What is it? What does that process kind of entail? What would you like to leave them with?
Yeah, for sure. So the biggest thing is if there's a paranormal team that wants my help, if there's a mentorship opportunity that you're looking for, I'm certainly happy to do that. And even if you just want like a one-time, hey, I've got some activity, can you come check it out? The easiest way to do that is message me on Instagram. My Instagram is Midnight Allegory, Allegory. That's probably the easiest way, or you can just go to the website, same name, midnightallegory.com. You can message me there too. That's probably the easiest. I think the last thing that I would like to like have everybody understand is that you see a lot in our pop culture how ghosts are scary, right? And demons everywhere and possession and all of these things. All of that stuff in my over 20 years of experience, I have had one real possession, one. So that says a lot. So you're safe. Spirits love you. Everything's fine. Don't be afraid.
How similar was it to the movie Exorcist?
Not at all.
Okay. Your head didn't spin around. Nobody vomited.
Well, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was a lot of me just like sitting around meditating until like they felt better. Like it was really nothing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, that's really cool. Interesting. Yeah. Well, thank you so
much. My head.
Well, thank you so much for reaching out to us. It's been a pleasure having you on, and I look forward to talking to you again. I would love to set that up and maybe get you down here where we can have you check out Devin's house.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think let's do it.
Awesome. Well, you have a great rest of your night, and I can't wait to hear more stories.
Yeah, you guys too. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, JJ. So that was different. We've had people who make their income from paranormal, but I felt like she kind of fell into a different spectrum than our normal psychic medium.
Yeah. Time. How so?
Well, she deals with the spirit world, mm-hmm. which I've never heard of, like this people like guiding you through the world kind of thing. You know,
yeah, I think spirit guides might have come up in one of our episodes before. Listeners, listen, go back and listen to every one of our episodes so you can find it and let us know what it is. But yeah, there was some common vocabulary there, which maybe that means something about the consistency of the experiences. Maybe it's just, you know, how vocabulary gets shared across people. I don't know. Am I convinced? Like definitely, you know, as you mentioned, she has, according to her, gotten, you know, results from her guides and from her work. But, you know, I think we've had most of our guests have been close friends of ours. We've had a few others who've come on, like Emily, who've reached out to us through Instagram. And, you know, not to say that any of those guests are frauds or scammers, but it's just harder for me to, you know, be convinced when I don't know this person in person, you know?
Sure. And you're already a skeptic, so I think knowing them in person kind of makes you maybe a little more likely to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, whereas when it's just a voice on a phone, it's a little harder to...
I mean, no one wants to believe that your friends are lying to you about seeing ghosts.
Because they are. We've had so many liars.
Unless it's like a funny prank or something, then right. I'm down for it. But yeah. I don't want to think that all of our friends we've had on here have lied to us. And I don't think that the Emily or the people calling in have lied to us. It's just really, you know, they all seem very genuine people. It's just hard to hard to have something like that kind of shake my beliefs, as opposed to like if, you know, something happened to me in person that I was witness to.
I do love the idea of like a near-death experience or a death experience being avoided by some voice being like, turn left. And right? You're just like, cool, I'm turning left. And then you see like a car explode in front of you or something. I mean, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, they've got cars that can do that on their own now, but I don't have one of those cars. So I would love to have a spirit guide to be like, hey, check your blind spot.
That's funny. Yeah. I don't know. It was interesting. I would love to get her here where we could see what it's like to have her around our friends who have had these experiences.
For sure. Well, maybe that will be a future episode. So keep listening, listeners.
So what do you think? Did that move you on the spectrum at all?
No. Yeah. I mean, I think it's fascinating, and I would love to like meet her and find out more about it. And it's really interesting to me, but you know, like I said, I can't really be convinced by someone who just, you know, reached out to us on Instagram. But yeah, what about you? Has this changed or affected your beliefs?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, I think for me, these kind of episodes are more just information gathering, mm-hmm. letting people know this stuff exists,
yeah.
and kind of seeing what our audience's feedback is. She seemed genuine, but of course, like you said, we haven't met her. We haven't experienced her powers or anything like that. But yeah, it's fascinating. I think to me, the next step will be getting some of these people in person and seeing what happens.
Ooh, so stay tuned for that.
With that, that's another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. I'm Noah Daniels.
And I'm JJ Crable.
Ooh.